I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Oh, South Kakalaka! Don't you dare be sour! Clap for your world-famous two-time champs and feel the power! It's a new day. Yes, it is.
For 12-Pack Radio, get excited, y'all.
Welcome back, everyone, to 12-Pack Radio, your podcast source for Pac-12 football news, the home of the Beta Rank College Football Statistical Model. This is a Sharp College Football podcast where sometimes I forget to, make the right setting on my microphone. So anybody that listened last week, my apologies. I feel, Rob, that our quality of work has deteriorated, much like the Pac-12 Network. So it's just kind of been like, equal lines are going up and down the chart as we go. I don't know.
I mean, there's definitely somewhere it's like there's been a lot of the work that I'm actually paid for.
Yeah, there will be an injection of energy for next year as everything settles through. It's funny because I was watching the Pac-12 Network and the commercials that are on there now are very similar to the commercials on like Fox News at 3 a.m. Right? It's like a lot of mesothelioma lawyers and gold. very low quality types of advertising going on to the Pac-12. You could tell they're reaching right now.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, all right, let's it's definitely one of those like the it's definitely like we sometimes in my work I deal with advertising, and it's definitely some of the stuff that like you might get classed as like a fire sale. Like there's been some fire sales for some advertising lately, and like Pac-12 Network could be in there.
Yeah, scooping up everything they can. But yeah, just get any revenue in that door.
Oregon State and Washington State.
That's what I was. Yeah, that was where I was going. So Oregon State and Washington State won a lawsuit. Now I'm sure it'll get appealed or everything.
The Washington State Supreme Court has already put a stay, but.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll cover that later because I'm curious. Basically, if you haven't been I can't hear myself. Basically, if you haven't been following, of course, Oregon State and Washington State are trying to get the rights to the Pac-12 so that they can get revenue and so that they could basically, I would assume, buy out the Mountain West. So we'll just keep an eye on that as we move forward. They won an initial decision, but I'm sure it's going to go back and forth for a while. But yeah. Stick it to the man, Beef. Stick it to the man and the Cougs. Good for them.
Yeah, for the rest of the conference, I feel like definitely like they deserve enough to cover their expenses, but... I also, I feel for Oregon State and Washington State, so like more power to you. Like, yeah. Go for it.
Yeah. Get them lawyers paid. All right. So we had an interesting week last week. Some big games, obviously Washington, Utah, Arizona, Colorado. Not the biggest game, but it went down to the wire, which I thought was really interesting. USC, Oregon State, and then a little bit of things that happened at UCLA that I don't think nobody really expected. But before we get into the specific games, just kind of big picture, did you hear the news that like UCLA is likely going to fire Chip Kelly by the end of the year? Have you heard this?
I saw that. Yeah. Here's the thing. Maybe. I mean, so like, I think if Kelly beats USC, like, I think he's probably more than likely to keep his job still, I would say. But I say this because like UCLA, he's on a cheap contract and UCLA does not care that much about football. that loss was embarrassing. If you can get assurances that Danton Lynn was coming back, like I'd let Kelly stick around, right? Like, he'll figure out the offense again.
Well, yeah, there's also some grumblings out there that Dante Moore didn't get the NIL money that he was promised. I mean, it just seems like it's kind of, it's like kind of a disaster.
Where's the money going to come from then for this?
Like, well, I mean, they're getting the real Big Ten money, right? I think that's the thing.
Yeah, so they are going to bear the brunt of the travel costs. They and USC, you know, and Oregon and Washington. But they also have to pay the calimony, right? Like the.
The calamity.
So, like, I mean, like, because, like, the estimates are like $10 million a year more in travel costs just for USC and UCLA. And they did not do them a solid with the. I mean, they're not playing, like, they play USC every year, but they don't play like Oregon and Washington every year. To like reduce travel a little bit for them, so they definitely. I mean, like, I look, I mean, absolutely, like, you want to, like, I guess it's just hard. Like, it's hard to see UCLA coming out with, like, enough big money to, I mean, like, maybe they go get Jonathan Smith. Maybe they go get Jed Fish, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. That could,
but, like,
those would be, yeah.
You're getting rid of Chip Kelly. I mean, don't get me wrong. Those are good coaches. But you're getting rid of Chip Kelly for that? I mean, it's like, it feels like you, like, the kind of splash that UCLA made when they went and got Chip Kelly, right? Like, it would just feel pretty underwhelming to go out and get. I mean, I think Jonathan Smith's a terrific coach. I think people are dumb to ignore how good a coach he is. I also think, however, that, like, for your average college football fan, Jonathan Smith is, like, not going to, like, they're going to be like, who'd they go hire? What?
Yeah, I guess that's it. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Yeah, I think one of the things that's interesting is Kelly has recruited poorly. It has manifested itself on the offense this year, yeah. But not on the defense. The defense has been pretty very solid. And he went in the transfer portal and was able to pull people,
yeah.
Which makes things a little bit easier. You know, he swung and he hit on a number of them. We'll see if he can keep doing that. I feel like that tends to be pretty difficult if you're getting the second tier of players, which is what UCLA is getting, yeah. Right? They're not going to come in and just pick off like a starter from Georgia or a starter from like Texas. They're getting the lower. I mean, basically the transfers that have hit are all group of five rather than power five. So we'll keep a focus on that as it moves forward. I just thought it was an interesting story to at least mention before we talked about the week. Any general impressions this week? Obviously there was the big games that we mentioned, but what jumped out for you, Rob?
I mean, there were some dumb games. There were some really dumb games,
yes,
in
were.
The Pac-12.
Looking at you, Stanford. Looking at
yeah.
you.
Yeah. But I mean, I think one of the things that jumped out at me was, Arizona won a stinker. You know, like, they did not play their best game by any stretch. And I thought Colorado played pretty well. You know, like, I, in particular offensively, yep. Against Arizona's defense. But Arizona still managed to find a way to win on the road. I feel like that's like a reason, like another sign of, like, you know, pretty good progress for the team. And at least if you're an Arizona fan, like, you feel like, oh, we at least got that out of our system before we got to go play Utah.
Yeah.
Well, of course, like, the shock, which we talked about a little bit already, like, the, you know, Arizona State just, comically beating. I mean, that, like, they were playing like they were running swinging gate a ton. Like, that game was comical. Like, you would just look up and you would see, I don't, like, I can't even, like, it's been such a week. I traveled all week this week for work. I was in LA. But, you know, like, is Scadabo or anyone would be lined up at quarterback and there'd be three linemen in front of him. And then there, you know, the rest of the linemen would be lined up over, you know, like, with the receivers over near the sideline. Like, it was bonkers. And UCLA's defense had a really good game. UCLA's offense had a putrid game.
I mean, they couldn't run the ball.
Yeah.
Which was just crazy to me, right? Carson Steele was like 10 for 50 or something, yeah. Like that. 10 for 32. Holy smokes. You know, now they were short two quarterbacks, right? Garbers wasn't healthy.
Right.
They went with Schley. And I guess Kelly was trying to show me specifically, calling me out in the middle of that game, this is why we don't play Colin Schley, Brian Conger. And I appreciated that, but I also didn't appreciate them not covering the 17-point
right.
spread. That was a little rough. Yeah, I'm curious if we see Dante Moore again. I think that's interesting. That was something that kind of popped out a little bit about the NIL problem there. Yikes.
I thought Utah had a good game. I thought they had a good game against Washington. They ended up losing, but they finished -1 on turnovers. Like, I thought they played pretty well. I thought the defense played well in that game. And Washington's defense is a problem, right? Like, letting Utah put up that
in the first half, right? No points in the second half, which was interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
that was exactly what ran through as I was watching that. I'm like, oh no,
right?
Like, this is really
bad. I mean, they did turn it around. I mean, but like, you don't get extra points depending on when you give up points, like.
Yeah, they all count.
Points all count the same. When people pull this stuff out, it's like clear Texas sharpshooter stuff where you're just like, oh, okay, well, sure. Like, they didn't. I also did not get pulled over on any Mondays. So, like, kudos to me. Like, the rest of the days don't count. It's like when people do the middle eight thing and they're like, oh, like, they scored in the middle eight. Like, I always make the joke of like, oh, they scored in the middle eight. Everybody gets tacos and, you know, points count for 1.5, right? Like, all the points count the same no matter when they happen. They definitely did buckle down a bit. But concerns that like the committee has expressed about Washington's defense are valid. Like, they're not a good Power 5 defense. That's a problem.
Yep. Very excited to see what happens if they play like Georgia, but hopefully they will make it through. I don't know. I think Oregon has something to say about that.
Oregon definitely has a say of whether that's good. Now, look, Washington can beat them again, you know, but like, oh man.
Yeah, this backdoor cover by USC. Get out of my face, USC. I mean, I thought they were a dead man walking. I thought Oregon was just going to try to stomp on him, and they couldn't put him away in the second half. They couldn't. I thought that was interesting. Just, you know, I think Oregon is still the best team in the Pac-12. Yeah. I think we're overrating how good Oregon is compared to some of the other teams that they'll play if they make it to the college football playoff. I was underwhelmed by what they did against USC. Am I being unfair just because I bet on the spread robber?
it was a pretty crappy backdoor by USC there. Putting up 13 in the fourth quarter. But I mean, to Oregon's credit, like, they had that game pretty much locked down in the third quarter, you know. Clearly took their foot off the gas a little bit. Washington also played USC. I mean, everybody in the Pac-12 is played USC pretty close, right? Like, it's only Notre Dame that really whipped them. not a great Notre Dame team. But that is, I mean, that on its own, I think, is a bit of a concern. Oregon had been playing well enough to be considered number one in beta rank, and they fell back after that performance against USC. They didn't, Michigan's back at number one. And Oregon is, like, I don't, like, Georgia, I mean, this isn't a vintage Georgia team. This Georgia defense isn't as good as it's been the last couple seasons, right? And, like, the offense isn't as good as they were last year. Yeah, I mean, I think there are real concerns. I think if you're, you know, like Oregon or Washington going up against Michigan or Ohio State or anything like that, like, those are some tough teams.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to have an abbreviated show this week just for some scheduling issues. So let's get into a week 12. Week 12. Do it right after this.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Okay, we're back. Friday. We got a Friday game, right? Friday night, 7:30 p.m. Colorado is a 4.5-point underdog on Fox Sports 1 on the road at Washington State. This line perplexes me, right? Because I followed your lead, thank goodness, last week, right? I wanted to believe, Rob. I wanted to cling to all hope that Washington State isn't falling off a cliff. And then they give up like 50,000 points to Cal. And just that game was crazy, too. I mean, like 39-42. It's so worrisome, Washington State. Like, look, I understand that Cal's offense is better. But again, like is it Francisco Mendoza, like the Mendoza line, really, you know, just two touchdowns, 150 yards. Like, you know, obviously Jaden Ott like did whatever he wanted on the ground, which is also worrisome when you think of Washington State. You know, meanwhile, Colorado, I played really well against Arizona. I watched that whole game. I thought it was really interesting. It was interesting while I was watching it, though. I still thought Arizona had a chance the whole game. Like even when they were down in the fourth quarter, they were moving the ball and they just, there was a control over that game. And I think really what happened was Jet Fish realized, oh, you know what I should do is run the ball against Colorado. Like, you know, this isn't difficult. Like, you don't need to make it more difficult than it is. And that worries me because who is a team that cannot run the ball in this conference? Oh, maybe Washington State. This is just a really interesting matchup. I don't, what did you think about how do these two teams match up here?
Look, I thought Colorado showed up and played man against Arizona and did it pretty well.
They did.
You know, and I like in Washington State. Yeah, like that was like, so this is Colorado's at number 64 overall. Washington State's at 69. Colorado's offense is at 52 overall versus number 76 for Washington State. But Wazoo, like these teams are like mirror images of each other in a way. Colorado's at 17 in effective pass. They're at 115 in effective rush. But Wazoo's defense is at 47. Ineffective pass versus 103 ineffective rush. So, and then you flip it around, like Colorado's defense is at 127 ineffective rush versus 29 ineffective pass. But then of course, like Colorado or Washington State's at 21 ineffective pass versus 122 ineffective rush. Like in your head, you're like, oh, both of these defenses haven't been great. Like I'm sure there will be a ton of points. And then you're like, maybe both of these teams are a little bit better at putting up at defending the pass, are better at defending the pass than they are the run, and they're both like considerably better at throwing the football than they are running the football. If I had to choose which one might be better at running, and this, like, it might be Washington State. I just think Colorado's offensive line is bad. But
how many times, I mean, like we've said this all year, and then, I mean, I've watched basically every Colorado game. How many times Shedeur Sanders just like tiptoe around and like he hits somebody in the flat, he hits somebody in a crossing route. The wide receivers are legitimately good for Colorado, and Sanders more than makes up, but he's good enough where that line doesn't worry me as much. I was shocked that Colorado was a dog. And I mean, I just think Washington State has fallen off a cliff, and now they got to face a team that their only weakness is something that you're terrible at. This line is crazy. And the other thing too, is when we were talking about Colorado versus Arizona, my hesitancy was like Arizona hadn't been there before. And we saw that, an Arizona team that has a culture of winning goes into Colorado and beats that team by 10.
Yeah.
They didn't, they did win, but I was also impressed with Colorado because the other side of that was, but does Colorado have an offensive coordinator and has that offensive line quit? And the answer is like, no, I mean, no ish. Like, yeah. I think this is still a team that kind of has their stuff together a little bit. You know, maybe their jacket's falling off as they're running to the bus, but they still have it on. I don't know. I'm taking Colorado 4.5. Like I will gladly accept those points. And I'm not afraid of Wazoo right now. It's even in the Palouse. I don't believe in this team anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it is hard. I mean, they're very, very much struggling. I am going to take it's 4.5 is tough. Is that what it opened at? What did that open at?
I don't know. Some of these lines have really moved. The Arizona line has moved.
I was just looking at this game. Oh, it opened at 6. So it's come down.
Ooh.
All right. I am going to take Washington State. Oddly enough,
have fun on that sinking ship, Rob.
I mean, it's like, but which ship?
That's very true.
Oh, man. That's a really good, I mean, like, six is clearly too much. So, like, yes, I would be all over Colorado at six, but like four is like right about where BetaRank has it.
Right on. Okay. Next game up on this is so sad. It's on the Pac-12 Network. This is a good game. Utah, number 22, Utah goes into Arizona. And this line, you talk about moving lines. I want to see, I forget what this line opened at, but it is certainly not what it is now. I had it at one. It has now dropped down to a pick since, like, I looked at the line and since we opened. So the limits went up and people hammered Utah. And I thought that was the right move. Now, this is at Arizona in a really, really good matchup. Obviously, we just talked about Arizona being able to at least take care of business on the road at altitude, which is impressive, even against a Colorado team that's been fading. And like you mentioned, Rob, like, Utah played well against Washington. They were able to put up points in the first half. I thought they, for a while, were able to stick at least close enough on defense. Like, Penix had to really earn that. We both had Utah, and we both not hit that one right. But
yeah,
this is a really, like, this is a fascinating matchup. I just think that it's gonna. I mean, a pick 'em though, like.
So Circa, that's where Circa opened it as a pick'em. Like, when Circa opened it was a pick'em.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've got BetaRank's got this at Utah, the, like, with a predicted score of Utah 24 to Arizona 23.
Wow. Okay. So hot darn, right on, yeah. Right on the nose. Well, let's match them up here because I think there's strengths all around here for both teams and maybe a couple weaknesses here or there. What do we got?
So this should be a really fun game. This Arizona team right now, like, their offense has really come together in particular. They're sitting right now at number 19 overall on offense, which is an improvement from where they sat last season. Their offense right now, like, their drive efficiency under Fifita has improved all the way up to 30 overall. They were in the hundreds with Delora. But they do throw the ball better than they run it. They're number 12 in effective pass versus number 41 in effective rush. Now, this Utah team is excellent. The number five in BetaRank on defense. They struggle a bit with drive efficiency, but they're good at limiting big plays. So Arizona's going to have to be able to drive the football against them. Now, they did do that pretty well against UCLA, but they, like, Utah split. They're number four in effective rush versus number 14 in effective pass. And that effective pass number has been climbing a little bit as they've had to actually face some passing offenses. That matchup, like, I think that's going to be a really good matchup. And also keep an eye out. Arizona's got really good special teams. Their place kicking is excellent this season. They're at number three overall in special teams in BetaRank right now. Like, Tyler Loop is hitting field goals. Like, you flip it around though, Utah's offense is at 47 overall. They're a run juggernaut. They're at number 14 overall in effective rush. So when they get yards, it's almost always being able to run the football. Now, I mean, I did think that Barnes had a decent game against Washington, right? Mm-hmm. Throwing the football around. But they're at 89 in effective pass. This Arizona defense sits at 31 in BetaRank overall. And they do, like, what they're quite good at is defending the run. They're at 21 in effective rush versus 59 in effective pass. They are struggling a little bit more to defend the pass this season. I think they have been pretty good in their run fit. That makes this sort of an interesting matchup, I think. Like I said, like, BetaRank has this super tight. Like, I'm gonna take the Utes in this game. It feels like a game that Utah's gonna win based on, like, having been there before. That sounds like a dumb thing. I hate it when, like, people are like, they've been there before. They rely on those kind of narratives. But I do think this is the kind of thing where, like, a younger Utah team and the Arizona staff might struggle a little bit with, like, some of the pressure that I think is going to come with this game. And also, I mean, like, this Arizona offense, like, this is going to, I mean, they did well against UCLA's defense. This is going to be a big step up from who they were facing last week.
Yeah.
I
agree with you. I wanted to take Arizona. I mean, we're both Arizona alums, but, like, I got this team down. Like, I know what this team is.
Yeah.
And I think that I am worried about the offense again against a really good defense. I like Fifita. I think he's really solid, But I love this Utah defense and the stuff that they scheme up. And I really do think the coaching staff is, I mean, excellent. We already know that is excellent. Yeah. I think this is a game where Utah comes in and they just are competitive enough. I think the line is great. Like, I thought this line would be around 3 and it's a pick. That's a lot to ask of an Arizona team that has really found itself. But like, Utah is a quality defense and they can run the ball. Yeah. And I know Arizona is good at stopping it, but I think that the defense is just leaky enough where they're going to give up enough points to lose, but lose close. This is just one of the best games of the year, actually, I think, especially in our conference.
No, this is. I mean, it's going to come down to, like, I mean, look, Utah's got a really good defense. Can Arizona throw it on them, right? Like, I don't think that Arizona's going to be able to go in there and run the football. You know, and like, that's what Arizona wants to do anyway, right? Like, Fish had to like remind himself to run the football against Colorado. But you flip it around and like, I mean, and like if Utah struggles to get the run going in this game, I mean, like, it is going to come down to like who can do what they want to do on offense, right? A bit in this game, right? Because I think with Utah, like, there's almost no shot Arizona comes in and pushes Utah around and runs the football. There is almost zero chance of that happening. And I also have like very little confidence Utah is going to come in and sling it all around the field against Arizona either. Like, that's, I mean, Arizona's pass defense is a little bit leaky this season, but I think that's a little unlikely. So it is going to come down to, like, I mean, God, I've forgotten the guy's name. Is this the Justin Flo game? or is this the game where, like, Barnes, you know, like, they get the run game going enough, right? But like, it definitely does feel like a tight game. The only way this game, I feel like, ends up, you know, with anybody winning by like more than a possession is turnovers. Like, other than that, I think these teams are very close this year.
Yep. The total's 46. So, I mean, Vegas is like basically saying these teams are going to stop each other.
I have it at 47. I feel so good about this. Like, I had it. I had it as legit. Utah.
That's a low total.
Utah
yeah.
minus one and yeah. 47.
I am interested in the under for the Colorado Washington State, 62.5.
Oh, so really? Like,
I actually agree with you on that. I think that's pretty crazy. There is a world where that game goes sideways, like the Cal, you know, Washington State team. But I don't think that it goes that way, just based on the strengths of the teams. What do you got?
I've got it at 66.
Oh,
man. Yeah. I mean, okay. I've basically got it as like both of these teams are going to put up points on these idiots' defenses.
All right, next game we got UCLA on the road against USC. UCLA is a 6.5-point underdog against a team that I thought was going to quit, and maybe I was looking at the wrong LA team that's kind of mailed it in. Obviously, UCLA loses 17-7. Just an inexplicable loss for UCLA. I mean, just an awful, awful loss. Given the talent that they have on that team, given the defense, I know that ASU is, like, you know, basically pulling every trick out of that hat, but when a team has to do that, that's when you should win. And like, man, I thought the Dillingham hire was kind of ridiculous. Like, I mean, I was like, hey, he's a young guy. Like, what is he going to do? And he's really like, shout out to that coaching staff and what they've been able to you know, make lemonade out of lemons. It's just really impressive. Meanwhile, on the other hand, I mean, UCLA is just really bad, bad quarterback. They weren't able to get it done on the ground. I'm worried. I was, especially looking at what USC was able to do against Oregon. I thought USC played well, given, right? Obviously the defense was kind of embarrassing, doesn't it? But I just thought that they kept themselves together in a way that I was not expecting. And now they have a rivalry game against UCLA at home. This is in the Coliseum.
Yeah.
What do the numbers say here in terms of both of these teams?
Well, this is a really interesting one, because I like this USC offense is number 8 overall in beta rank. They've clearly taken a step back from where they were last season. They absolutely rely on explosive plays. But they're number 5 in effective pass versus 39 in effective rush. They get a UCLA defense that's also at number 8 that does a really good job limiting big plays. They're at number 14 in explosive drives. And they're at 16 in effective rush and number 9 in effective pass. So there is a big advantage there. Something to keep an eye on in this game is UCLA special teams stink. They're at 114. I don't think they feel like they can rely on their kicker to kick field goals. Now, UCLA's offense is at 67 overall. They're at 34 in effective rush versus 93 in effective pass. But UCLA's or USC's defense is at 92 overall. They're at 97 in effective rush.
You're going to talk me into UCLA.
And they're at 72 in effective pass. So this is the thing. Like, so to be clear, like, Arizona State's defense is the, like, for all the just true dumb of the what Arizona State did offensively last week. I mean, just the complete comedy of going out there and basically running like a gimmick offense that like teams mostly use when they're going for two.
It's a dumb and like written in calligraphy,
right?
Right. That's an offense.
Now Arizona State's defense is at 32 overall, right? So like they came out and they've had some games. They had a really good game against Washington. They had a good game against UCLA. You know, like those are very different, right? Like having a good game against Washington and having a good game against UCLA, those are very different. But they're not bad, and they came out, I felt like, with a really good game plan. I think UCLA is going to be able to run the football. I always come back and I'm like, what did this open at? Where did this go to? So like, I think people are, so it did open at 6. And then it hasn't moved a lot then. But I've got it at USC. I mean, it's like the naive spread, which has been high this year because the rule changes, is at 6.75. But the predicted score is USC 34.5, UCLA 33. I mean, it all depends on like, do you think UCLA is done? Like, because if they're done, then 6 isn't going to cover it. Like, if they're done, if the rumors really are flying around the football facility that Chip's done. Right. And like Dante Moore is like out. People are pissed because they haven't been paid. You know, like, I mean, truly, like if the employees haven't been paid, good luck.
But, yeah, that's right. That's right.
But like, this isn't a startup. Like you need to pay your employees. But if that's the case, then yeah, like 6 isn't going to cover it. Right. But like if the other part of it is like you are betting that USC like holds a lead. Not like I think USC wins, but the by how much is hard.
Yeah. I want to see Colin Schley with my own two eyes beat USC. Oh my I just do not trust that often. And I do think this is a scenario where USC takes out some frustration. I just think that that's a team that really has been disappointed. This is an opportunity at home to beat your rival. I know this is like not narrative, like this is all narrative based.
I can't wait to see this defense again, like UCLA's defense against this USC offense. Like, I can't wait. That is another really good matchup this week.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, but I think the thing that was interesting to me was that Oregon got because my big thing on taking Oregon last week was they're going to get to them. And Caleb's going to run around and have to do stuff. And like, we saw what happened when Notre Dame got to him.
Yeah.
I don't think UCLA's line is as good as, or like, are they Latu probably is. As good Latu as Oregon's
is.
Line?
Like, Latu is like a, okay. Maybe not a day one pick, but he's a day two pick. And the Murphy twins ain't bad.
Yeah, that's fair. And Toya. Yeah, they do have a really good line.
It is one of those. It's just like, oh, there's so many things to like. And like, I still don't like USC's receivers.
Like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take USC. I think UCLA is done. Get them out of
all right,
my face.
Well, we're going to disagree here. I'm going to take the Bruins.
Okay.
I think they respond for Chip.
Do you take Arizona or Utah?
I took Utah against the pick'em. I got Utah.
Got it. All right. We got three more games to get to, and we'll get to them right after this. All right, we're back. The Kingslayers, Arizona State, hosting the Oregon Ducks at home. Wouldn't it be funny, Rob? Wouldn't it be funny? Oregon is
America's team, not Michigan. Arizona State, America's team.
Oregon is a 24-point favorite on the road at Arizona State. this Arizona State team is so incredibly banged up. They are basically like, if you're in Madden, it's like the 15th play sheet where you're like trying to figure out, oh, what's that? That's what ASU is running at this point. But they do, like you mentioned, have a good defense. They were able to take care of UCLA. They have kept it competitive against USC and Washington, by the way, and games that have been pretty impressive just in terms of keeping things together. Oregon comes off of, I wouldn't say an emotional win, I would actually say a not impressive win over USC, but they are on the road. It is tough to play in the desert. What do the numbers say here, Rob?
So this is a really, really interesting matchup. I mean, I say that about all of them, but whatever. Like, I find things interesting. Anyway, this
Cal
Oregon
Stanford
offense
is not an interesting matchup, by the way. So we
no,
we,
that's
we
not.
Don't
there's,
that
there's, there. I don't. Okay, so I don't say it about everything. There are exceptions. Future ACC members. That's right. So this Oregon offense is number 2 overall in BetaRank. They're very, very good. They're a little bit behind where LSU is, but they're still very, very good. They're at number 15 overall in effective rush, number 2 in effective pass. Now, this is a much harder matchup for this Arizona State defense, which is at number 32 overall, like we said. They're at 67 in effective rush versus number 16 in effective pass. They absolutely trusted their corners to basically play man, and they loaded up the box against UCLA, and that worked. That is not like this is like so for them, like you can see you're like, oh, like you could do that against UCLA. Like you could load up the box and play man, no problem. Bring your safeties down, you're fine. You know, like what's UCLA gonna do? Like, and you can see why against Washington this defense had a really good game. They are good defending the pass. They played man a lot against Washington too. This is a much more diversified Oregon offense and then Washington. And certainly like they're a lot better than UCLA. This is a really like, I just want to caveat, like they've been really good. Some of what has really worked for them though has been like they've had some matchups that are favorable. This Oregon defense is also quite good. They're at 16 overall in BetaRank. They're at number 5 in effective rush. Now they are at 30 in effective pass. I think that's part of like why the Washington matchup in particular is hard for this Oregon team, because where they do struggle is defending the pass. This matchup against Arizona State, who is at number 90 overall in BetaRank offensively, 101 in effective rush versus number 65 in effective pass for Arizona ASU. I think and the model thinks this could get ugly. So BetaRank has this at Oregon 41.8 to Arizona State 8.5 basically. Mm-hmm. So basically 33.5 you know, versus that 24. I like Oregon. I like Oregon versus that line.
I think the defense does a really good job here and just keeps giving good field position.
Great
to
field position.
Like that's where I think, look, hats off to Arizona State. I think I've picked against them like 3 games in a row. I'm going to do it a fourth time. Like, I'm sorry, you know, shame on me the fourth time if I'm wrong, but I mean, this Oregon team is good. I think they still need to play hard. They still need to make a statement. They are on the outside looking in right now. I'll lay them. I think that some of this stuff is going to not bode well against a really good defensive minded coach and with
no
talent.
I mean, but I think Oregon, I mean, like, look, Oregon knows that Washington struggled with this ASU team. Like, I think they want to come out and blow the doors off them.
Yeah. Well, I said that about USC and that didn't turn out so well. But
That's true. But this one, like, the really good field position that ASU was able to like get against UCLA, like it's just not going to be there in this game.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to get poured on, I feel like, and get ugly.
Yep. All right. We're both taking Oregon. Next game, 3:30 p.m. on Pac-12 Network, where it belongs. Cal is a 7-point favorite on the road against Stanford. I don't know what to do with this game, Rob. Like, oh, Lord Almighty. Stanford, by the way, just got rolled and smoked by by Oregon State last week, 62-17. DJU had a decent game, but like Damian Martinez certainly had a good game. 7 in a rivalry game. Cal,
this game is dumb.
You know, drop this game is dumb. But like Cal dropped 42 on Washington State. I mean, they have a run game. Like I'm interested what the numbers say here, because in my head, I'm thinking that Cal, I just think Cal's a more complete team, but I need to see the advanced stats to kind of get a feel for how much more complete than Stanford. Cause I mean, there's a reason that they're only hanging a 7 in this game with a Stanford team that's like basically half.
Yeah. There. So Cal's at 61 overall in beta rank. Stanford's at 88. Cal's offense sits at 53 overall. And where they're actually pretty good is drive efficiency. And that's something to keep an eye on because Stanford really struggles at stopping drives. Number 25 in effective rush for Cal versus 74 in effective pass. The Stanford defense is pretty bad. Number 109 overall in beta rank. They're at 108 in effective rush versus 98 in effective pass. You flip it around and Cal's defense is really struggling. They're at 80. They're at 70 overall. They're at 130 in drive efficiency. They're better at limiting big plays, but you can absolutely put together drives on them. They're at 35 in effective rush versus 110 in effective pass. Cal definitely is a team that runs the ball and stops the run, which is how Wazoo put up points on them, right? You're like, how did this happen? Like, oh, it turns out their defense just is leaky on the back end. Now, Stanford's at 87 overall in beta rank. They're at 92 in effective rush. They're at 72 in effective pass. Like, it's not always pretty, but they can move the ball a little bit in the air. The naive spread is actually closer to where this game opened. The naive spread is actually almost 6 points, because this is at Stanford. So it's 5.99. And then it opened at 7. But the predicted score is only Cal 31 to Stanford 27. I am going to go with Stanford here, because I think they're going to be able to throw the ball enough to put up some points against Cal. And they do have a little bit of a special teams advantage in this game. I do think like Cal is going to win this game. But this feels like a dumb game. This feels like a really, Cal plays nothing but dumb games.
I just feel like they're a more complete team, but that 7 is so, they're hanging that 7.
Like a complete and, Cal like, these is teams like,
aren't that far apart.
How complete are we talking about?
Yeah, I'll take the points. Stanford in spates have been decent. Think in a rivalry game, I'll take the points and I'll just roll the dice with a.
I mean, the difference in their record, I mean, like now they are clearly like there's a decent gap between them in advanced stats. That's true. But like the matchup itself is a little closer because of the way that the offenses and defenses skew a little bit. Or at least it looks that way on paper. We'll see.
I got you. All right, let's go. Unfortunately, we got to quickly get to this Washington Oregon State game, which is awesome. Number 5, Washington is a 1-point dog on the road at Research Stadium against Oregon State. This game is fascinating. I'm so glad this is on ABC. It's in prime time. It's going to be watched heavily. I don't believe in this Oregon State secondary, Rob. I don't. I'm
but looking Vegas at this line does. And I understand. Like apparently.
Oh my gosh. look, Research Stadium is really freaking hard to play in. I want to take Oregon State because I've seen this movie like 1,000 times in this conference, and it is so hard to play there. I don't think this Washington team is a complete team. I do think that Oregon State has enough on the ground and through the air to make this competitive. It's going to be wet. It's going to be cold. It's going to be obnoxious. It's going to be loud. But I just wonder how much better Washington's quarterback is in that passing offense is against the secondary of Oregon
State. This is interesting because this opened at Washington by 2 and it moved, right? Yeah. So like the sharp money came like, cause this is like casual bettors are not coming in and moving the line on Oregon State's favor.
Yeah.
So like sharp money came in and moved this towards the beeps. So this was, like, and look, Beta Rank has Oregon State at 12 and Washington at 14 right now. This Oregon State offense, like for everything that like DJU like makes you scratch your head, they're at number 9 overall in beta rank right now. They're at number 17 in drive efficiency. They actually put up big plays too. They're at number 9 in explosive drives. They're number 6 in effective rush versus number 13 in effective pass. They get a Washington defense that is not good. They're at 45 overall in beta rank. They're at 47 in effective rush versus 57 in effective pass. Both of these teams have good special teams units. Oregon State's at 8. Washington is at 15. But you flip it around, and this is where, like, and I held back saying this, like, this is where the model sees, like, Washington, even though they're the lower-ranked team, like, the predicted score, they're the lower-ranked team on the road, the predicted score actually likes the Huskies. So it's number 5 overall offense for Washington. They are excellent at putting up big plays. Number 2 in explosive drives, the Beavs struggle to contain big plays. They're at number 52 overall. Washington, of course, number 1 in effective pass versus 96 in effective rush. This Beav defense is decent. They're about where we thought they'd be. Like, they didn't fall all the way off the map. They're middle of the road power 5 defense, 34 overall. But they're at 28 in effective rush and 56 in effective pass. Now, the predicted score from the model flips it. It is Washington 40 to Oregon State 34. And I like the Huskies here. I do. I think the Washington State, Washington passing defense is going to get it done. I do think they're going to give up some freaking points to this Beavs offense, though.
Yeah, that's my worry. My worry is, like, I want to take Oregon State so bad, like, so very bad, because I've seen this over and over and over again. But man, that Washington, like, if Penix is rushed and if Penix is nervous, this game is over and Oregon State wins by 10.
No, if Oregon State could have Arizona State's secondary, they would blow Washington out, but they don't.
Like, yeah. Oh my, I'm going to take the Beavs.
Okay.
Here's why.
No, I don't disagree. I think this is a great game. Like, you could talk, you can talk yourself into this easily.
I think they're going to be able to move the ball. I think that Washington's defense has shown the wart. I think Jonathan Smith is a great play caller. And it's at home and it's going to be loud. And there have been games where I just see that Oregon State team that is not as talented as this one is just be able to really put things together and rattle the other team. But I can see a scenario, Washington, just every possession, it's just 70 yards, 30 yards, 70 yards like that. That is certainly a possibility. And I'm betting against Michael Penix, but I've been trashing this Oregon State secondary and I know I'm betting against it this time.
As soon as you brought that cup out, I was like, oh, he's picking Washington.
I know. I think that this is one of those games where you see a team that's more complete all around beat a team that's like elite and an outworldly level through the air. So I'll take Oregon State. Oh man, I'm so glad this game is at 4:30. What an awesome!
I think it's interesting. It's like you almost feel like it's guaranteed that Washington is going to finish minus 1 on turnovers in this game because it's in Corvallis. Not because the Beavs defense is particularly good, just because it's like,
that's what
it's
happens
in Corvallis at night.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be, it's at 4:30. So it gets dark up here. Like,
it does. Dark. I mean, I live up here. I had to switch. Like, I had my headlamp out for like walking the dog in the morning and I'm like, nope, I need that at night now.
Yep. That's right. Okay. Well, hey, I would love to talk about this game a little bit more. We do have to wrap this one up a little bit early. So sharpcollegefootball.com, YouTube, Sharp College Football, where Rob's putting up great stuff. We have a few more weeks and we'll definitely do bowl season. So we're looking forward to that and we'll catch everybody next week.